Welcome to Inner Peace to Go, your source for practical, proven strategies to reduce stress and make life easier. I'm your host, Sandy Cohen, and I am so glad you're here. Let's dig in. Hey, welcome back to Inner Peace to Go. Happy 2024. It's Sandy Cohen here, and I'm so excited to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. So I wanted to talk about this idea of don't believe everything you think. Now, I saw this on a bumper sticker years ago, and at the time, I just thought it was so funny. It like didn't even make sense to me. Like, how could it even be possible to not believe everything you think? Like, of course I believe what I think. What I think is how I understand the world, and why wouldn't I believe it? Like, I'm thinking it, so it's clearly like important or valid. And what's funny is what I've learned over the years, especially as I've been on the journey to try and, you know, create more peace in my life and get more stress out of my life, is that not believing everything we think is a really valuable strategy for managing our minds. Like, our minds come up with all kinds of crazy shit, right? Like, we could come up with all kinds of crazy thoughts. Have you ever had the thought like, oh, I could just kill that guy? Like, okay, that's not a thought you're going to act on. That's not a thought that you're going to invest in. And we can apply that same kind of decision making to all kinds of thoughts. And thoughts are just one of the ways that we understand the world, right? So we have all of our senses. These things bring us information, the things we see, hear, taste, touch, smell, like that. Those are all sources of information, ways we perceive the world. And our thoughts are another one of those ways. And when we just blanketly believe everything we think, or if we never question anything we think, then we get stuck in what the late author David Foster Wallace called the skull-sized kingdom, which that's pretty limiting. I mean, think about how big your skull is in relation to how big the world is and the universe is. So this idea of not believing everything we think is a really important, for me, has been a very important strategy for managing my mind and feeling a greater sense, cultivating a greater sense of inner peace. I use this strategy and work on this with my coaching clients to sort of, you know, untangle unhelpful thoughts and decide where do we want to actually invest our mental energy and our self energy, like our, the stuff of our lives, right? So we want to be thoughtful. It's ironic. We want to be thoughtful about our thoughts. And we want to recognize that not every thought we think is, first of all, it's not always factual. It's not always true. And it's not always helpful. So I want to give a few examples of why you might not want to think, believe everything you think. And first of all, it's important to recognize that the other vehicles that we use for, you know, our senses and our perception, they're not 100% infallible either. I mean, if you've ever driven and seen a mirage where it looks like there's water on the road, and as you get closer, there's no water, you know, your eyes kind of tricked you. And if you've ever done a blind taste test where you're blindfolded and, you know, you're tasting something, you might not know if it's a strawberry or a kiwi or some other fruit you never heard of. So just like our other senses are not perfectly factual and infallible, neither are our thoughts. Our thoughts are just another way of perceiving the world. Granted, it's our like one of our main ways, but it's worth investigating to see if believing the things we think is actually taking our lives in the direction we want to go. So here's an example. So, and I think we've all probably had this experience. Say you text your friend and they don't get back to you. Maybe you texted them like a couple times and they didn't respond. And many hours are going by and you're like, what the hell? And then you start thinking, is she mad at me? Like, did I do something? And then you start thinking, oh my God, have they had an accident? Did they get in a car accident? Like, what is going on? And how much worse is this when it's texting someone who you're dating? You're like, are they lying in a ditch dying and, you know, screaming for my help? Like, you can come up with all kinds of scenarios because they didn't text you back, right? So these are your thinking. You're thinking about all these horrible scenarios and then you're believing them like, wow, maybe I did something to piss her off, or maybe he's not interested, or whatever it is, right? you go on this whole trip with your mind, and then you're either worried or annoyed, or you feel rejected, you feel bad about yourself, you second guess yourself, you go over what could I have done that made her so upset? Okay, and then they finally get back to you, and they're like, I'm sorry it took so long. My mom got sick, and I had to drive out there, and I had to give my brother a lift, or our plumbing went out, and I was dealing with this whole nightmare with my landlord, or I lost my phone, and it's taken me this long to go buy another one. I had to get everything out of the cloud. I was doing a digital detox. Sorry, I didn't tell anybody, but I was feeling totally overwhelmed, and I just needed to, like, unplug for a day. Like, there could be a million reasons why your friend or your love didn't get back to you, and it may have nothing to do with you. So if you're believing your thoughts that you, you know, this whole story that we create about, like, she's mad at me, or, you know, things are falling apart, whatever, then you are spending a lot of energy feeling stressed, maybe feeling like beating up on yourself. I never should have said that. That's why she's upset. And that's energy that's detracting from your inner peace. That's energy that is fraught and tense, and that's not the energy we're trying to create over here, right? We want to feel more at ease. And I would argue, and many psychologists and scientists would argue, that managing your mind is a great way to take yourself onto a path of feeling more at ease. All right, here's another example. Like, say you have a job interview or some kind of presentation coming up, and you think, I am going to suck at this. This is going to go so bad, right? That thought just popped in your head, and then by default, you just believe it. So now you have this energy of, like, this is going to go so badly. You aren't excited about it. It could affect how you prepare for it. You bring a completely different energy to the experience than if you had a thought of, like, oh, I really hope this goes well, or please let me do my best on this. I really need this to go well. So there's two different ways to approach it, right? Well, I mean, there's myriad ways to approach it, but I'm talking about two different ways right here. If you believe the thought that this is going to go horribly, that affects your energy in a way completely differently from if you believe a thought that says, I really hope this goes well. And this isn't about gaslighting yourself or toxic positivity. The thought, I'm going to suck at this, is just as arbitrary as, I hope this goes well. This is about choosing when you want to believe your thoughts, why you would want to believe or not believe certain thoughts, and what effect that has on your stress levels and your sense of well-being. Oh, here's another example. Oh, this is like right out of my own life. Okay, you're driving on the freeway and someone cuts you off. And the first thing you think is, that asshole, he just thinks he's so much more important than the rest of us, right? I used to do this all the time. So when you believe that thought, you get super irritated, and maybe you flip the guy off, or you, like, try to catch him or something on the freeway. Like, it could be really bad, right? You believe this thought that this guy thinks he's more important than the rest of us, and who the hell is he, and how dare he, and you get agitated. I have even, like, when this has happened, I have even wished for, like, oh, I wish he'd get in an accident or something, which is so horrible and really embarrassing to admit. But that's what happened when I believed the thought that this guy is an asshole who believes he's more important than the rest of us, even though we're all stuck in this traffic. And when we choose not to believe our thoughts, or when we choose actually which thoughts we want to believe, you could think the guy's an asshole and, you know, he thinks he's better than all of us. Or you could think, whew, I'm glad I'm not racing around like that. I'm glad I'm not driving so aggressively. That would suck to be that guy, you know? Or you could think something like, geez, you could get into an accident driving like that. It's a different thought. Believe whichever thought you want to believe, whichever one's going to, you know, take you where you want to go in your mind. And these have totally different outcomes in terms of how we feel, how our drive goes. And if I believe, whew, I'm glad I'm not in that kind of hurry and driving so aggressively and pissing off everybody, then I can take things less personally. And I can feel good about how I'm driving. And I also don't have to think about it anymore. Like, whew, I'm glad I'm not in that position. Move on. Let me enjoy my podcast. Let me enjoy the song on the radio. So don't believe everything you think is about choosing which thoughts to invest in and which to just let pass. And I want to acknowledge that thoughts come up unbidden. They arise without us doing anything. And their content could be completely outrageous, like, I could kill that guy, or, you know, I hope he gets into an accident, right? So their content could be outrageous, and we can't control what comes up in our minds. Our minds make thought all the time. But we can control what we believe in and what we invest in, what we invest energy and emotion into. That we can control. And choosing not to believe thoughts that make us feel terrible and to instead work on believing the thoughts that allow for more possibilities is a very practical way to cultivate a more peaceful state of mind. We are thinking all day long. And if we're investing in the thoughts that make us feel terrible, there are many, 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 many opportunities to feel terrible. And we don't want to feel terrible. We want to feel more at ease. So how do we not believe everything we think? We have to look at our thoughts and decide if they are worth investing in. We have to pay attention. We have to be willing to question our thoughts. We have to, first of all, be willing not to believe everything we think. We have to be willing to see, is there another way to look at this? Is there another way to think about this? So one really powerful way to do this is using the framework of Byron Katie. She's an American author who had this flash of insight. So she was really super depressed, couldn't get out of bed for days and weeks. She like hated herself, hated her life. And she just got struck by this insight that she realized, like in a flash, that her suffering was actually a result of her thoughts about the situation more than the situation itself. So if she had thoughts like, I don't deserve happiness, or my life is horrible, it's like she recognized all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, this is why I feel so depressed. This is why I hate myself. And she came up with this framework of four questions that allow us to investigate our thoughts. She realized that when she didn't believe the thoughts that were making her miserable, she felt less miserable. And of course, the same is true for us. So she developed this method of inquiry, these four questions to ask yourself when you're feeling upset or stressed out. You first notice what's going on. Notice, oh my gosh, I am hooked into some, like, I feel really bad. I feel really stressed. I'm really worried. Like, why didn't my friend text me back or whatever? And then I isolate one thought or belief to investigate. My friend didn't text me back because she's pissed at me, right? Or let's use the example of I'm going to do horribly on this presentation, or I'm going to do horribly on this job interview. That thought makes you feel anxious. It makes you feel incapable, and like your job could be on the line, your future could be on the line. So here's the four questions, and we're going to apply it to this situation. The four questions are, is it true? Can I absolutely know it's true? How do I react when I believe the thought? And who would I be without that thought? And then she says to do a turnaround. So let's walk through it with that example of I'm going to do horribly on this job presentation. Is it true? Well, yeah, it's true. I always do badly on these presentations and I've never done a good one. Like, yeah, it's true. Can I absolutely know it's true? Well, no, not until I give it. But I can tell you right now, I've never given a good one. But no, I can't absolutely know it's true. How do I react when I believe that thought? Well, I feel discouraged because I'm supposed to give this presentation and my promotion, you know, depends on this. And I feel like if it's going to go terribly, I almost just want to avoid it altogether. Like, I don't even feel like preparing for it because I know it's going to be a disaster. That's how I react when I believe that thought. Who would I be without that thought that I'm going to do horribly on the presentation? Well, I mean, I would probably approach it with a little more enthusiasm. If I didn't think it was going to go horribly and there was a chance it could go well, then, you know, I'd feel a little more upbeat about it. I certainly wouldn't dread it as much. And then the turnaround she talks about is to see if the opposite of your thought is true. So instead of I'm going to do horribly on this presentation, could it be true that I'm going to do wonderfully on this presentation? Does that have an equal chance of being true? And in this case, since it's something in the future and we can't know the future, you know, you got to acknowledge that that also has a chance of being true. Is it more true that I'm going to do horribly? Well, I don't know. Let's see how I'm going to prepare for the presentation. But anyway, so those are the four questions. Is it true? Can I absolutely know it's true? How do I react when I believe that thought? And who would I be without that thought? Then turn it around and assess the truth of the opposite or sort of the inverse of that thought. And so this is a super helpful approach that thousands of people have used to investigate their thoughts. They've used it on all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of circumstances. Byron Katie actually has a podcast where you can hear her walking people through these four questions. It's really illuminating. But say you don't remember what the four questions are, or you don't have time to go through them, and you're wrapped into a thought that feels really yucky, and you just need to kind of see if you should believe it or not, or even remind yourself that that's a choice. So as soon as you realize that you're stuck on a thought, going round and round on it in your mind, believing it as though it was one of life's great truths, you really only need to ask yourself one question, and that is this helpful? Is this helpful? Is this thought helpful? And now, if it's a thought that's stressing you out and making you feel terrible, it's pretty easy to see that it's not helpful, unless you're trying to be stressed out and feel terrible, but you're not. You can see that it's not helpful. Now, even recognizing that it's not helpful, your brain might still be stuck on it. Like, no, I need to keep thinking this. I know it's not helpful, but I totally know that I'm going to do bad on the presentation, and I just never do well on presentation, so I feel like I should just prepare myself for how bad this is going to go. And that's a choice. You can choose to believe the thought, but if you recognize it's not helpful, it gives you a chance to unhook from it. Now, this is a practice. This is a skill that we can get better at. We can get better at noticing what our thoughts are and noticing, you know, asking ourselves if it's helpful, or going through the four questions. Is it true? Can I know it's true? How do I react when I believe the thought? And who would I be without the thought? That is a skill. Recognizing our own thoughts and investigating them is a skill. And it's a skill that I would argue is worth practicing, because then we're just less likely to get wrapped into thoughts and believing thoughts that are taking us away from where we want to go, which is we want to be productive and happy and peaceful and like living our best lives. Also, one surefire clue that the thought you are thinking isn't helpful is when you are predicting a negative future outcome with absolute certainty, right? Like, I'm going to do terribly on this presentation. Like, even though it hasn't happened yet, I can tell you with 100% certainty that it's going to be really bad. So if you can see the future so clearly and unfailingly, I invite you to go buy a Powerball ticket with the winning numbers, dude. Like, let's not mess around. Let's use this power for good. Of course, I say that as a joke, because we don't know the future. Even if all the evidence is pointing a certain direction, things can always go a different way. We don't know the future. So if you are predicting the future, a negative future outcome, with absolute certainty, that is very likely to be an unhelpful thought. Why not stay open to possibilities? Why not allow for the chance that things could go differently than what you expect? So the point is, don't believe everything you think is about choosing to spend less energy believing thoughts that feel bad, and choosing to invest our energy in thoughts that create more possibility for us, that create a greater sense of well-being, a greater faith in our own abilities to do things. That's what we're talking about here. Don't believe everything you think. It's making a choice and not just accepting at face value that everything that pops into your mind is a gospel truth. And it's also recognizing that thoughts have consequences. I mean, like I said before, we show up to the presentation differently if we believe it's going to go terribly than we would if we thought there was a possibility of things turning out better than expected. Our thoughts affect our mood, our actions, and ultimately our results. And we can choose to not believe the thoughts, the unhelpful thoughts that aren't taking us where we want to go. It's not about being delusional, and it's not about denying reality. In fact, you could say that being being choosy about which thoughts to believe brings us more in touch with reality. Thinking that we know what the future holds and deciding that we already feel bad about it, that is not reality either. So, don't believe everything you think is a reminder that even though our brains are wily critters that come up with all kinds of thoughts, we are the ones who can decide what's worth believing and what's better cast aside. And making this a regular practice means becoming more in charge of your mind and your moods, which allows us to feel more peaceful. We're less derailed by things. We can choose to believe in the thoughts that lead to feeling more peaceful and then take that peace with us, which is inner peace to go. So I hope that you find this valuable, this strategy and this concept. This has been huge for me. I used to always believe everything I think, and most of what I thought was like really negative towards myself. And learning to soften my grip on those thoughts, and or soften the grip of those thoughts on me, maybe is better said, has made a huge difference in how I feel. And it's not that I never have negative thoughts or that I never fall into believing thoughts that are not helpful. It's just a practice and an awareness that I have cultivated, and it's led to a lot of improvements in my mood and my well-being and my belief in myself. That is why I wanted to share it here as our first episode of season three. I really hope that you, I just hope it's useful, most of all, and that it leads to a greater feeling of peace and happiness for you. So let me know what you think. Let me know if you try some of these strategies. If you try the Byron Katie, are you familiar with Byron Katie? I'll link to her her work in the show notes. But yes, please get in touch with me. Love to hear from you. I'm on Instagram at YouKnowSandy, or you can email me directly at innerpeacetogo@gmail.com. So thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Hey, if you want to keep the peaceful vibes going, get on my email list. I'd love to send you my free ebook, The Ultimate Stress Busters Guide, packed with actionable steps to bring on the chill. Plus, I'll send you more tips and inspiration every week. There's a link in the show notes, and I'll see you in your inbox.